Welcome to Deeply Rooted, a web series on mindset. My name is Tony Wisdom, aka Tony Gaines. I've spent over 20 years in the music business as a producer, engineer, label owner, and executive. This show is dedicated to changing the narrative on success. I reached out to the most successful people I know. I want to know what drives them, their greatest mistakes, their best advice, their secrets to success, and how all of that has shaped who they are today. Take a journey with us.
There we are, Deeply Rooted, Season 3, Episode 2, with the homie Marcus Brown, who I'll be bringing up shortly. Man, it's been a hell of a ride, man. Last week's interview was so great. Charles did a great job, and it led to some bigger things. We have some really big guests coming, man. So I just want to thank y'all for rocking with us. And, you know, you guys didn't know what the hell I was doing. Hell, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, you know. So, but now we're kind of catching our groove. We're having some powerful conversations. And we're getting ready to have another one. So, like we say, buckle up. We're about to get deep with the homie Marcus Brown. Let me go ahead and get him on the... Bam, there he is. What's going on, brother?
Good afternoon, Kansas City and all.
Yeah, let's see. I got stuck. I don't know. I was freezing on the thing. So, yeah, man. You know, Marcus is somebody I knew way back. When I was a young, aspiring knucklehead, you know what I'm saying?
We both were.
Absolutely. So, you know, Marcus has fought through, man, and you know, he's a resilient brother. He's always been a thinker, you know, which is why, you know, we had some scheduling conflicts, and I was like, who better to go to than my brother? Because honestly, bro, like, me and Landon was talking about this, like, we see you. Like, we see your struggle. We seen you persevering, bro, and, you know, this is one of those conversations that I think exemplifies what this show is about. You know what I'm saying? So thank you for taking your time out. If you don't mind, could you just give me a quick rundown on, you know, your history, like who you are, who's Marcus Brown?
You know, it's interesting because as a kid, you know, we all have those aspirations and dreams. I myself was a product of track and field and the genetics and everything. And I thought, you know, what better, especially as a kid, the dream of being an Olympian, and even further than that, you know, being successful in athletics and then, you know, carried on to business. But, you know, sometimes life has those ups and downs, or not even ups and downs, but it has those speed bumps and walls. And I unfortunately took the wrong route in my direction of achieving my success early. And when I say that, I think it was that I was not a self-thinker for myself at that time. I was a thinker, but I was also still a follower, and I allowed myself to go down the path that others were choosing for themselves that I didn't safeguard. And when it was too late, you know, you have the bumps and the bruises or the legalities, and you deal with it from there. But that's why you all saw me disappear for a little while, because it wasn't from jail. I disappeared because I figured if I'm going to do my dirt, I'm going to do my dirt by my lonely, because I ain't going to tell on myself. So
yeah,
I took that voyage and I went off.
So don't worry about it, brother. It's on our end. It's on our end.
But you already know, my main thing was that I was like, was it Jonah and the whale? Mm-hmm. You know, God kept presenting me with what he wanted me to do, and I continuously rebelled and didn't want to do that. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to have no fun doing God's way. But, you know, and if you're brought up in the church, you know you're right from wrong. And constantly through doing my dirt, I was getting that same voice. Hey, you know, what you're doing is wrong. And, you know, I'm having that almost like DMX, that alter ego. You're hearing one side, but then one side is awfully lovely. Mm-hmm. So you have to. It's funny, as you get older, you learn how you've resisted temptation, but you couldn't do it back then, you know? And it's amazing how the route that I took that led me so far from my own goals and aspirations, 180 degrees from what it was, you know? And yeah, it got to a point where the athletics was irrelevant and, you know, just wanted that hustle, wanted that it wasn't even the fame. I think I just enjoyed having everything that I really wanted. And then when I had my son, that realization of, you know, you either choose to be a man and be a father and let all this go, or you can sit there and relish or relic in the times of having money and what you did, and but you're still talking to your child behind plexiglass, or even worse, if you did. So, you know, yeah, the quality of things, I've had those situations where, you know how they say three times or third time's a charm. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to find out about that third time. So it was time to let go of all the bull and, you know, get, you know, having good people around in my life was the thing that helped me personally. I had a support cast, but my problem was I wasn't trying to listen to that support cast. You know, I was, like I said, Jonah and the whale. I was going the opposite direction where I was supposed to be going.
Yeah. And,
you know, the funny thing I laugh at is that through all this, I still had some type of athletic aspirations, but I'm like, dude, you need to hang that up and get real with it. And I think what it was is that I was watching something what was, and I remember it's like, hey man, right now your athletic aspirations are gone, so it's like you got to be the best at whatever you can be now. So mm-hmm. whatever you have skill to be or to do, that's what you do. And so I took that hustle mantra and put it into business and started construction. Construction clean out, and from there I gained basically a foreman position working for a construction for a developer. Shout out to Bodie National Builders giving me my first shot. And so with that, it's one of those things that I started to see a different path that I can take and still use that hustle to get, you know, that same success that I was reaching for prior to. But I look at it like this, that I also feel that with my son, I have an obligation, not so much as a man, but as a father, to implement certain things that I know that I was taught that I did not take heed to, but I was taught the right way. However, I think that I'm not going to be as aggressive with him, and I'm not going to be his friend by no means. I want to be your father, but I'm not going to cram things down his throat. And I want him to make his own decisions. I mean, he could make his wrong decisions. I can't be there with him all the time, but I'm hoping that what I instill in him, that it's not going to lead him in a position where he's going to turn around and be like, Nate, told you.
That's dope, man. That's so what I hear from that is, you know, soldier, thinker, father, businessman, thriver, you know what I mean? So that's Marcus Brown. Thank you for that eloquent answer, sir. So how do you define success?
You know, success for me personally, I think, is in the individual. And I think what a person strives for is their own success. I don't nowadays I don't live for anybody else. You know, a lot of times we were living under the expectations of our family members or we wanted to do. But once we get caught up in that, we're not happy with what we are and what we want to do. And so I let a lot of stuff go. I think what it is, you almost have to, after you've had enough failures and then you've succeeded also with that, you break yourself down to build yourself back up every time. I don't think one person breaks themselves down one time to build themselves back up. I've done it multiple times only because I don't always feel like I am doing my best. And I think we're our hardest critic, but I think success is within the person. And if you have happiness and you've achieved your goals or whatever the case may be, that you found what you wanted out of what you were seeking.
I absolutely agree, man. And I look to nature. It's kind of why this show is called Deeply Rooted, right? Because many seeds fall from a tree. Not many are successful. But for you to be successful, for a seed to be successful, you know, it has to take roots, sprout,
right?
You know, produce fruit, produce more seeds, you know. And to me, that's successful. Planting a seed, bearing fruit. You know what I mean? And and if it's if money's your goal, right?
Right.
Then money comes into it because it's part of your goal. You know what I'm saying? But money isn't the defining part of success, you know? So great answer, bro. So what drives you? What's your why?
You know, I don't have an answer to that because my why sometimes is against a lot of people's belief as far as, you know, I believe in a good higher power, and you know how you were taught, don't ask why, but it's like, you know, I put a lot into this, and it's like, you know, I enjoy life on a different level now that I have achieved my own happiness and self-actualization. I can actually take the time to see the hummingbird wings flutter. I can see everything in a slower motion because I'm not in a rush to do anything, or I'm not allowing anything to take my time. I've got control of my own remote control. And it's like, you know, nowadays people want things, you know, instantly, that instant gratification. But people don't take the time to stop and say, hey, you know, I did such and such a favor last week. I'm going to take a break and I'm going to tell them, no, I can't do it today. And, you know, whether they get upset or not, I'm happy.
Yeah.
So it's like I told you what you wanted to hear as far as giving you my, you know, giving you the truth. You know, I'm not going to lie to somebody about it, but I got something else to do. And that just snowballs. So I just, hey, I tell people the truth, and it's more damaging telling people the truth than it is to lie to them nowadays.
Man, ain't that the truth?
It's like when you tell somebody the truth, they get mad in their feelings. But I'm like, if I had lied to you and told you a whole different fabricated story, you go and accept that that lie over me telling you the truth on why I don't want to, you know how it goes. But
sometimes, bro, it's more comfortable for people to live in the lie, because when you confront the truth, there's a lot of ugly there that you've been pushing down and that you don't want to confront. So how has a failure or an apparent failure set you up for later success?
Oh boy. You know, I'm one of those people that I learn from my mistakes. I'm not one of those people that keep on. I don't dwell on my mistakes because I'm going to get through it. But I also learn from them. I don't like repeating BS twice. Now, if it's something that I've succeeded at, I'll take that, you know, the next time that I'm you know, doing something that involves or something that is, you know, along the same line, something that I'm trying to succeed in. I mean, I'll take that, but I've learned from other cats' mistakes. I've learned from my mistakes. And with that, it's just like, you know, you just do better.
Yeah.
There's no limits to the times you're going to fall. So you just, it's how you respond and get back up.
Yeah. Is fall down 100, get up 101.
That's, you know?
Yes, sir. And, you know, I really, like you said, I don't actually believe in failures, and I just haven't found a way to word this question right. Properly. I think it's an important question, but it's only a failure if you don't learn. It's right. Only a mistake if you don't learn. Like, exactly. Other than that, it's just a lesson and a step in your journey, you know? What is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be an investment of money, time, energy, etc.
Well, I'll tell you this, and you know a little bit of the backstory. I found myself homeless in 2017, and through all of that, it's so funny because, you know, no one knew about it, and it wasn't that I was embarrassed about it. I made a very bad decision financially, and it set me back to the point to where that's where I realized, like, no more giving out my bricks. If someone can't give me back what I've helped them build, you know, I can't do it no more. And so with that being said, with all of the organizations and companies that helped me along the way for those 3 years, I give back to them, you know, whether it's monetary or voluntary work. And I wouldn't be here today without those services. And, you know, I didn't have anyone to fall back on, especially being at that time I was 43, and 43-year-old man can't fall back on somebody, you know, for that help. And I had to dig in deep, and from day one, it was, yeah, you know, your mind's got to be right. And after succeeding from being homeless and these organizations and services helped me, I give back my time because, like I said, without them, I would not have made it.
So just to go, when you were homeless, being homeless, when you think back to that time, like, what was one of the most valuable lessons you learned from that experience?
About setting goals. You know, we all have been in that position where we've set goals before, and I've done it before, but never as hard as I did it when I was homeless. I had my knee surgery in 2010. I tore everything, but in my mind, mentally, I said, I'm going to run again in 180 days. And our mind is so powerful that if you set yourself to it and don't go off course, you might go off course a little bit, but don't let anybody else influence you. And I knew the first day that I was homeless, I said to myself, 3 years from now, not even 3 years from now, a year from now, I want to be better than I was, you know, that at that moment, a year from now. And I was making those steps, but, you know, from getting evicted and not being able to get another place to stay, I was working homeless. But I could not get a place to stay because of my eviction. So that's why I had to keep myself out on the streets. And, you know, the burden of trying to go somewhere on a daily basis or get to someone's house on a daily basis, ended up losing my vehicle, everything. You know, I didn't want to burden everybody like that. So I went ahead and sucked it up. And from that day one, when I knew I was going to be homeless, I just said to myself, this is what you got to deal with. So I wrote down my goals of paying off my eviction debt, paying off some other debt, and then getting into a place to lay my head again. And I had some help along the way. A couple friends, Matt Bray and Marcus Bray, they have their realty business, and they actually gave me a place as far as shelter to stack some cheese up. And then once that came on, other opportunities opened up, and you know, everything started to fall into play. But I'm grateful for those that did help, and like I said, it was in me to write down those goals of being in a better place from day one. And all I did was refer and look back to that. Every time I felt like I wanted to stop, and I had to look at, you know, like I said, showering outside in the cold, in the heat, whatever it may be. Look, these goals, this is why you're doing it and getting it together. And I said to myself, you know, it's funny that I look at all this stuff now and be like, man, how the heck did you deal with all that? But, you know, God is good, man. I never gave up. And every day it was a new chapter. It wasn't after the homelessness was done. It was a new chapter every day, man, because it was a continuous struggle. But I had to look past it every day.
You know what's powerful about that is, see, when people come to their lowest, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing we always have as people is a choice, right? So for anybody watching right now, oh, we lost him. And I'll just keep going with this point until he comes back. But, like, we all have choices. Bro was homeless. He could have chose to feel sorry for himself, drown himself in drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever, right? And he made a choice to bounce back. He made a choice to bounce back and put his boots on and. Let's remove this one. You back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, cool. So no, what I was saying was, man, we have choices, right? And you had a choice right there. You could have went to the drugs, you could have went to the alcohol, to the gambling, to whatever, bro, and just felt sorry for yourself. And that's what's powerful, you know, is that you had the knowledge, or not even the knowledge, the foresight, the discipline, the dedication to yourself.
Exactly. Right?
And you made an opportunity out of that. You turned what most people would have said was a devastating situation.
You know what I learned about it? And when you're in that situation, you have got to become selfish. Mm-hmm. And being selfish, I say that, by you have to be taking care of yourself. The one thing that was funny was a lot of the folks that I met and encountered when I'm homeless, it was like a community of doing bad, I want to say. And I'm not saying that everybody was, but it's like everybody was either stealing from each other or, it's a whole bunch of stuff. Any way you can look at it, man, I was seeing a lot of folks that had given up and turned to the drugs and, you know, making the excuses and everything. I lived every day without following these folks or being around. You know, one thing that made me quit smoking cigarettes, man, I'd be working every day, right? And everybody else that was homeless be working too. I go and get my money. They get their money. They would spend their money on bull crap. And, you know, I'd have cigarettes and, you know, my meal and, you know, be standing there at the bus stop. Hey, man, can I get a cigarette? Same dude almost every day. Same people almost every day. Can I get a cigarette? Can I get a cigarette? Finally, I'm like, hey, y'all was working just as hard as I was. Why in the heck is it that y'all can't ever get a pack of cigarettes, but y'all want to ask me for one every time? Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, that's not how we do it around here. Well, you know what? That's not how I do it. I work hard for this. So if you want one of these, you had better go buy your own then. Mm-hmm. And so that giving away things, the more, you know, like I looked at giving my bricks away, the more I started
realizing, no, I'm not giving nothing away. I'm working as hard as you are. You getting paid just like me. You better go get what you want, because people are not going to take away from what I've been working hard for. So that was one of those things that, you know, I got a bad name out being homeless. They're like, that dude, he's stingy. But I'm like, hey, I got off the streets before all y'all did. So it's just like I was just in a whole different frame of mind. They were lax and cool about just being, that's not me, man. I want to have a roof over my head. I want to be able to see my son on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of things that you feel that, you know, the normalcy of living, you know, the life that I was living. I mean, yeah, I want that back. So It's like, I'm not trying to be out in these streets, trying to be digging and begging. I'm ready to get back to living the way I was living, you know?
That's dope. And that kind of leads me to my next question. What small act of kindness were you once shown that you'll never forget?
I remember, man, one time I just got off from work. And I had a bee at the place. So basically, look at like this timeline. I'm showering by 4 a.m. in the morning, rain, sleet, or shine. And getting to work or getting to the labor place to have my name on the list first by 5. So, mind you, working those long 10, 12-hour days for peanuts because I didn't have nowhere to go home to and didn't want to, you know, necessarily, you know, stop working, man. I mean, shit. You want to work as long as you can because you get more money and you ain't got no place to go home to. But anyway, it was raining real hard and I had to leave the job I was working in. So I'm walking and, you know, I got my pay for the day. And out of nowhere, man, I didn't have nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. This guy pulled up next to me. He's like, hey, where you going? And just to get out of the rain and the walking for just a short period of time, I just had him drive me to the furthest part where I knew I could hop on the bus and then ride back towards the direction I was going. So I just figured, hey, man, I was getting out and that man didn't know me from Adam and he didn't know what I was going through, but he just stopped out of nowhere, man. You know, God just gives you these breaks. And it's amazing because I looked at that stuff and I'm like, dang, this is part of being a better person, because he didn't have to do something like that. And that type of humanity makes me a better person. And when I see a situation where someone's like that or someone's been like me, that you use your discernment, of course, but when you feel that person out, you do that. You know, it's just second nature now, but you do these things because, man, I never asked for it from folks because I wasn't the beggar or the person trying to get sympathy. But I see the people who don't have the mental toughness like me that you sometimes have to give a certain amount of encouragement to help them get over that hump.
Absolutely. And you know what, man, for that dude, that wasn't a big thing, right? Like it just to give you a ride somewhere, right? But we're still talking about it now, right? You still have that in your mind. And that's for anybody listening. Like, you never know the effect you can have on somebody just by being present and being kind. And if we all did that just a little bit more, the world would be a better place.
Man, that's something that I forgot who it was again, but they had said that every day they at least try to leave a little bit of kindness to make up for all of their, not bad, but all of the negativity that they brought to the world prior to leave the earth in a better place the day before or even after they're gone. So my main thing is I know the wrong that I did, and I've forgiven myself. I've come to a position to, like I said, I'm happy. I had beat myself up for a while because of all the things that I felt like that hustle had done to folks. Yeah. And I look at it like it's greater later. And I now see that it's not the money. I just enjoy life so much because I enjoy the finer things in a simple way. Mm-hmm. And I'm very simple but complex because of my thinking. Mm-hmm. But I always give things out for people to make their own decisions. I'm just not that one that tries to push onto others. I like people to make their own decisions. Yeah. Because it goes back to the same thing, sounding like a follower if you can't make your own decisions, you know. So I love the fact that my son is not an athlete. He does his own thing, and he's his own thinker. He don't even know about my accolades. He, as far as he knows, I'm just a lame. So, you know, but I want him to be him, you know, be himself, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things that, yeah, God is good. And I just try to really just relate to how it makes me a better person in the long run.
Oh, and that's all about mindset. That's deeply rooted. That's what this show is, man. Exposing mindsets. And I hope you guys are listening, man. This is practical life experiences and gems that you're getting from people with boots on the ground, not people who hold peacock feathers and say, "Hey, look at me, look at
right.
me." You know what I'm saying? People who just, you know, do their thing. So, okay, let me keep it pushing though. In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
You know, it's kind of bittersweet, but I say that because when I tell folks, they're like, "Oh," they're like taken by it, but I'm not. I think I've done my own research on trying to understand. I've taken the religion out of my life, and I'm just keeping that good, positive, higher power forward. You know, I just know, like I said, doing right from wrong has really made me who I am. And now it's just, I try to convey my happiness. I don't show the negativity because I think nowadays so much of it is driven, you know, through the internet, social media. You know, it was so wild when we were young. You see a fight happening and everybody run off and watch the fight. You know, you remember that? And then mm-hmm. it's like now you can see it on the internet and it just makes it's like we're it's the wrong thing, man. And it's like, I know I love my rap music. I mean, I think you see my photo in the background, Biggie. So it's like, man, it just seems like we've become ungrounded in certain ways that we've got to find a way to get latched back on again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost scary because everything is moving such a fast pace.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got off the subject, but it's just like, man, I look at things, how things are going now, and never would have imagined back in the day that I would be the one trying to tone things down.
But I mean, I guess if I got this correctly, so you've kind of adjusted from super religious to spiritual, just being focused on your spirituality.
Right. Right.
And you know, I've been doing a lot of like intentional work, bro. Like I've been reading every book I could get my hands on mindset, on personal development, you know, and reading like all the big names, Napoleon Hill, Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, right? On top of the two times when I was on vacation as a juvenile, that I read the Bible front to back.
Right.
I read the NIV and I read the regular one. I still haven't read the Quran. and I'm not too much into Hindu Buddhism. But my point of all of this is, at the end of the day, all of these faiths, all of these religions, all of these gods are saying the exact same thing. If you break it down to the very, very basic lesson, which is be your best self, get out your head, live from your heart, and be nice, do kind, be kind, and don't be a dick. You know what I'm saying?
Like at the end. That's what it is. And see, that's part of the reason why I get in trouble because of that.
Yeah.
And it leads me in the direction of, okay, and this is just check the imagery. All right, if Africans were brought over here and they weren't following the religion per se, they might have been honoring a god or gods, we don't know, you know. But I've always looked at the Holy Bible in a sense of conformity, because Africans weren't in the Bible, weren't reading the Bible, and the conformity of colonization. And don't get me wrong, but I always question, if people don't speak the language of the Sea Scrolls, how are they able to interpret it? So I stop, you know, and I don't want to ruffle feathers, but I stop at that and I sit there and say, look, I know that in myself, what I've been taught growing up in the church, but I know right from wrong.
Yeah.
Now, I use good judgment in doing things that will affect me or affect my family. I do things that will affect in a good way, because that's how you want to live. I mean, you don't ever want to be looking over your back over stuff. And so I look at it as that I don't use that as how, you know, some may. I just know that, hey, we all know right from wrong.
Yeah.
And
it's innate, bro. Nobody had to tell you, you know what I mean, killing something was wrong. Like, it's innate. Right. You know, your gut knows when you're right and when you're wrong.
But exactly.
For some people, one thing I will say, for some people, though, you know, organized religion is the way they learn. That's the way they function. There's absolutely a purpose for all of this, man, you know, and any way somebody gets to being better, I have no issue with.
And that's the point that I was getting at. And everyone's, you know, even my family members, they're like, ooh, I'm like, no, I don't sway you from what you believe in, but this is how my comfort is. And I don't go to church anymore. You know, like I said, I do believe in a good higher power. I don't rock crosses. I don't have none of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just the fact that I know that the conversation that I had with my God during my homelessness, he understands me. And it's the fact that even though we are made in his image and he's infallible, I still know that he understands my moments of grief when I'm not happy with him and my me being me, because I'm an individual and I voice it whether I'm speaking to him or not. But you know, my thing about it is that I know that he rebuilds me after those situations and forgives me and puts me in a position that, hey, now that you're over your little pouting, it's time to get yourself back up like you normally do and get on top of things. So, you know, I never take longer than a 30-minute pout.
Wow.
In anything. I don't make excuses about anything. It's like, you know what? When people tell me, oh, I can't do it because of this, I shake my head and just go on. Because I'm like, I don't live by excuses. You don't understand that. If you give excuses in this world, you will fall. Now, your best bet is, like I said, if it's something that you don't feel like doing, like I was talking about earlier, I don't feel like doing it. I'm just going to tell you, I don't feel like doing it, but don't beat around the bush. And you know, that person says, oh man, I want to do this. Say somebody's like, oh man, I want to start working out, blah, blah, blah. You're like, hey, I got the gym and stuff downstairs. You want to start right now? Just not feeling it. I had a big meal or something, like, you know, don't be boisterous about things and not be able to back it up.
No doubt. I agree. So check this out. What advice would you give to a smart, driven kid about to enter the real world?
A smart, driven kid should already have their self pretty much in motion. What it is that you have to give an example to a lot of kids. And you know how we were talking about having someone that was, even if they was out on the street, they still might have their stuff together, but you still learn from somebody who had their stuff together. I'll take the smart kid away and be like, you know, I think that he's pretty much got himself. He should have himself in a good position. Now, like I said, you have these kids that don't have these mentors and don't have these bright spots or good support systems at home or in their community. And you really can't do anything other than, if you know that kid or you are in that young person's life, to try to be a good, I guess you could say, a good example. You know, I smoke, and regardless if I have Crohn's or not, and it's legal here in Missouri, but I don't condone it with my son. He's 17, and you know, I think we all have to make our decisions as we get older. I don't think you can give someone advice, and I would say only 1 out of 10 actually take it. You know, the other ones, they have to learn, whether it's a hard lesson learned or it's an easy lesson learned. But a lot of people have to learn for themselves, and that's when, like how we are, like, oh damn, that my uncle said that, it made sense. I'm like, or my mom said that, and here I am, I'm sitting locked up, and she ain't coming to bail me out because she told me this would happen. So you know, it's all those things that sometimes it just has to happen by default, just for that person to find out.
Dope, great answer. Our mantra here at Deeply Rooted is: kill the ego, ignite the soul.
Yes.
What does that mean to you?
You know, I look at it as a direct path that you don't have to be flashy and you don't have to be extravagant to get your point across. Yes. You can be as simple on a soapbox, standing out with one shoe on, one shoe off, but you're trying to convey a message in a sense that there is no threat. You want people to get the point that you are trying to be a help and not a hindrance. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, nowadays, I'll tell you this, I've learned in a weird way, I don't know how you can look at it, but I've stopped making eye contact with questionable folks, because it seems like it perfect example, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. But you know how, you know, stick up kids, you know how things go. And you make eye contact with somebody and they think, oh, this might be that easy one. You got a lighter? No, I don't smoke. And I'm still going to keep my eye on you. But then first thing I do, yeah, I got a lighter. And all of a sudden, damn, give me everything in your pockets. And it's like, damn. So I've avoided, and that's with anybody. I'm not talking about with suspect, you know, questionable people. I just don't make eye contact, and it's like, I don't want to bring any negativity in, or that person that just cut me off on the highway, I don't even look their direction. And whether they're all upset because they're in the wrong, I'm not going to put myself in that position. I'm going to keep on looking forward, and I keep as much negative stuff away. And it's like, my house, my place is my domain, and You take off your shoes when you come in here. You don't come in here talking all this extra stuff. I don't even have video game system or consoles in here. Yeah. I don't want you coming in here acting like you are Jerry Rice out there running the field and you out in here playing a damn video game. I just don't want all that crap. I'm not competitive in that sense anymore. It's like, you know, I'm feng shui. I like everything peaceful and quiet in here.
And you know what? Almost everything you said was an answer to the mantra, right? Being in traffic, not letting somebody else's bad day turn into your bad day. Mm-hmm. See, the reason we do that is ego. Ego says he can't talk to you like that. Who the hell he think he is, you know? or you know, like, so yeah, I dig that, man. Great answer. Okay, so we might have touched this, but I want to get a little bit more specific. Okay. So we all have that moment in our journeys where we want to call it quits, where we are at our lowest, so to speak.
Right.
When you reached that point on your path, how did you fight through
it? It was funny because I had already got my mind right when I had lost my job and I lost the house and everything started to sound like a country music song. I kid you not, my man, in my head, I said to myself straight up, like they say, self, I was like, you can either sink or swim. Hmm. And right now is your choice to make a decision on how you're going to attack this, because it's not going to get any easier. And you are going to be hit with a lot of culture shock.
Mm.
And, you know, my family had their own stuff going on. And I honestly, I didn't want to burden anybody. And I just went ahead and took it on myself and said, hey, now, look, I laugh right now because at this time I wasn't for sure, but I said to myself, hey, you can do this shit. Just suck it up. I mean, you know, don't burden nobody. You don't have to get everybody involved, because, you know, it was just one of those things that I didn't want to hear someone say, because I know how I am. Gosh damn, you here again? Mm. And so I figured, hey, if I'm out here on these streets and I'm having to find shelter on my own, I'm not burdening anybody, but once I get back on my feet, I have a story to tell. And that wasn't the whole thing that I set out to do, but like I said, I don't live by excuses anymore.
Yeah.
Man, I get up and go to work every day. If I have a sore throat or if I feel a little sniffler, I'm like, that ain't no excuse now. I'd have to really be hurting, man. I really got hit with something. I got sick for about, I'd say about 40 days, man. Something hit me. I don't know whether it was because I hadn't been getting full night's sleep because I was working so much, but it hit me so hard that, oh, man, my son's mom, I called her. I was like, hey, man, I got to get my affairs in order because I feel like I'm about to die. Yeah. And, I mean, that's how bad it was. And but from that point on, look, man, if I ain't sick like that, I'm going to work every day. I'm getting things done. I'm being productive. I'm not sitting at home. I'm not sitting around. And if I take a day off, I have something planned to do, you know. But, yeah, man, I just really, I live by just no bullshit, no excuses. I get things done. And if somebody says to me, oh, I can't do that, I don't discredit them. I just say, got you. And I do it for myself, you know. Like I just told you, I just moved all this stuff into my apartment. I didn't call and ask for no help. I figured, hey, you know, somebody was, oh, man, I'm busy this day, or I got to do this. Man, I've learned to do things by myself so much that, yeah, people get mad at me for not asking them, you know, because it's just like, man, I've gotten so used to doing things for myself. That's why I say there's no excuses. I've moved everything in here in a one-bedroom apartment minus my bed.
Yeah, I'll say this, bro. You got me motivated. I feel like I need to get my ass up and do something, you know. But one of the most powerful things you said was you weren't sure, but you just did it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We don't always have to know what's around the corner. If you look at it like, right. like just a path or a road, and there's a curve up ahead. Like, we don't have to know what's up there.
Right.
You made a plot, you know where you're going, and you're making progress. Like, so that's dope. That was a great answer. You got me motivated like a motherfucker. So.
Okay. Man, so, I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but I'll tell you this one thing, that I wasn't the same person that I was when this first happened. I mean, I was mentally tough, but man, you know, people are like, man, you're either the coolest motherfucker or a straight up asshole, and there's no in between. But it's like, man, these literal streets made me such a hardened person, because I see that a lot of people make so many excuses about things, or they procrastinate, and it's like, you need to get out there while you can and just grind and get this stuff knocked out. And it's just like, so many people just wait for a handout or just oh my gosh, I really commend folks that work hard. I don't care if you're making minimum wage or you're making a lot of money. Those folks that sit behind a desk, kudos to you. But don't ever take for granted the people that are out here really making this world go round by putting in a lot of labor just to get their families' ends meet.
No doubt. So bro, when you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, or have lost your focus temporarily, what do?
I put that blunt down. I'd be stuck on stupid, but no, other than that, man, I really don't lose focus. And I think that's why I'm single now, is because I have to have an equally yoked woman that has as much mental, I should say, that is just as mentally strong as I am, because I don't want to babysit. I don't want to be in her business. I know she's got a life and a business of her own, and we meet in the middle at night, and I don't have to be calling and blowing your phone up or none of that stuff. I got stuff to do. You got stuff to do. Like I said, we meet in the middle, but I just, right now, it's so much that I guess that I really overlooked growing up. And like I said, man, nature is a beautiful thing, like you said, because that seed has to produce. And like you said, all seeds don't make it, but the ones that do, you have to nurture those seeds just like a child. And that growth is very important, because the things that you do prior to are the things that will make that accelerate and down the line more profitable. So, or I should say more productive, not profitable, but I think I went on a whole different realm on that one. But yeah, man, I just think that each individual themselves have to find it within themselves what they really want out of life. And I no longer want $1 million. I don't want all that money, because I don't want the fake and all the excess that comes with it. And Biggie made sense with more money, more problems. As I've gradually made money legitimately, legally, you have to budget and not live outside of your means. Because I say that because once you start making a little more money, you want that bigger car, that better car, or that bigger house, or those designer clothes, or all this extra stuff, because you're going up in your tax bracket. But at the same time, what if you went up in those tax brackets and lived at that same means you were 4 promotions ago, and you just keep living that life that you were living comfortably at that time? And so that's what I've done. I don't need to go out and get the brand new nothings. And I just got a Galaxy Note 20 Ultra after having, I got a Note 5 in there that I've had during my homeless time. And then when I started to get back on my feet, I bought a Note 8 and Note 9 on Facebook Marketplace for the dirt. And I had those phones. And so now I figured this was one of my things outside of my norm, outside of my means. I was like, let me go buy a $1,300 phone, but I can afford it. And it's like, go ahead, pay this off. And then it's like, I'm gonna rock this phone for about another 5 years. And it's just like, you know, I don't need everything, you know? I don't need to have all this glitz and glamour, because I see all these people having it and they're out here rolling around and everything, but they're broken, unhappy at home. And I'm just like, you know, you show, it's the same thing like social media. Everybody will show one thing. Look, I eat good, I smoke good, and I'm happy. Now, I might voice some opinions on some things like sagging pants and some things that be like, nah, that's just not me. But I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy and get everybody all drawn up. Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't like that last dude that was up in D.C. I don't even like bringing up his name and giving him no power. But that right there, like I said, the things we do give power, whether it's negative or positive. And so I've done my negative stuff on this earth. I want to do the positive stuff, because all these wrinkles are from me. You see, frowning and being mean mugging folks. And so, so I got the permanent frown marks and stuff. So, but I don't know how to change those to a positive, because they're still up there.
But also, well learned, brother. Well learned.
But yeah, man. You know, life and God is good. I just think that we get out of it what we put into it. So a lot of people that complain, you're gonna get that out of life. You're gonna get that gloom, because you can't seem to get over that hump of saying, hey, let me stop complaining about it and put that energy towards the positive side and push forth and get some things accomplished, rather than always having something to complain about. Just do it, you know?
So that kind of leads me to this. So if you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say and why?
Get over it. Because a lot of times I don't care what it is. A lot of people hold such a grudge over things. And then, for example, the other person dies and you're like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have. And I wish I would have. Okay, well, now is the time to look at the things that we do. Okay, if you get mad at somebody, that's understandable. But at the same time, be able to communicate. Not blast them on Facebook, but to go to that person and say, hey, this is why I was mad. This is what I didn't want to put it out there, but this is why. Be real about the stuff. Tell the person what it is, and then y'all can get over the stuff. Yep. Because a lot of people are taking it way too serious. Best friends are losing years because they said this, that, the other, but I'm your best friend. If you can't take that either with constructive criticism or say, hey, you are such and such and such and such, but that hurt my feelings, and y'all get over it. But so many people take it to the point, you know, like Dave Chappelle had on his show that one time, when keeping it real goes too far. Yeah, come on now. I mean, seriously, you've known this person all your life. There's a certain point where you have to have some maturity and do the right thing, instead of always canceling folks out of your life. You know, communication is key. And the main thing is, get over it. There are certain things your friend made 6 figures this year, but they worked hard. They did that. Why are you upset about it? Because you didn't put forth that same effort. Get over it. You know, that wasn't your path of life, obviously, but that person put in 6 years of college, or they got something because they've been working on their craft, like music, anything. Hey, man, get over it. You know, you weren't there clocking in with that person, so get over it. It's a lot of stuff where we need to stop comparing ourselves or comparing somebody else with ourselves when you're not doing as much as the next person.
So, and you know, I want to add to that. Also emotions, right? So we all feel emotions. We're all human. We all get mad. We all get sad. Right. You know, it's not that you shouldn't feel it. You should absolutely feel it, right? Take your time, feel it, and then get over it. Yes. Right? Emotions are fleeting. They come and go.
Yeah.
You know, and so I love it, man. That's great. I can't wait to make that shirt, cause I make shirts. Yeah, I make shirts off of all of these quotes, right? Every quote, and then we donate the proceeds to charity, bro. So
that's
like,
awesome.
Dope, man. So I can't wait to make that shirt. Okay, so for the last question, man, what song would you consider the soundtrack to your life? Or is there a song that you turn to for strength?
Man, look, you know, it's funny because everybody's like, you know, I like Mozzie, man, because he has that sense to him that it's like, man, look, I know I've been at the bottom of the slime, but at the same time, I'm trying to do right by my peoples. I'm trying to do right by everybody. And it's like, man, It's like one of those things that you like. And what's homeboy's name? KP, Smoke Something.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, it's like, you know, there's so many people that you would not encounter, but that bud, it's like universal. Mm-hmm. So it's like we all are as one, and it's funny when we have such a common denominator. Yeah. But it's like when people are unknown and don't have something in common or don't have something of interest, or, you know, like I said, the unknown, that's when you have the threat of the hate or the issues, because people don't know what they're dealing with. But, you know, you have that common ground with somebody and you sit down and say, well, damn, I didn't know such and such. But, you know, you never would have had that dialogue without, you know, that session.
I tell you a great story, man. I don't tell the story often, but okay. So I got a homie that he does live touring, like touring production, and he's like, right. You know, he's the dude, like the boss that runs everything, right? And one time he was on the Rockettes Christmas tour, right? Not some shit that I would normally go to, but they were at Sprint Center for like the weekend or something. So he's from here. So he had all his, like, he rented a back room at the Sprint Center and had all the family come up and kick it, like, in between shows, right? He's like, yo, man, you bring something with you? Because I got a homie, man, that works on the show. He trying to smoke. He having a bad day, right? So I'm like, you already know. Like, of course. I'm going to get it together. Let's go, right?
Right.
So he's telling me about the dude before he walks up, and he's like, yeah, he's from Cali, and he used to be on an MTV show. I'm like, oh, okay. Now, he walks up, and it's Wee Man. You know what Wee Man is?
Yeah.
All right, it's Wee Man. So me and bro sat out there on the little balcony of the Sprint Center.
Was that, no pun intended?
Yeah, really, no pun intended. So look, we went and I blew the blunt. Well, he was having a bad day because he's working on this Christmas show as a Christmas elf, right? And people back home are going through it. He's making good money on this, you know what I'm saying? And feeling the type of way because he can make money because of how he physically looks. And it's almost like being a sideshow freak, you know what I'm
saying? That's what it is, yeah.
And he feels bad because he got people home struggling. And, man, the whole session was basically a therapy session between me and this dude and building his confidence back up. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck that, man. Like you got to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? And it was the power of that right there, right? And just me and that man having a chance to take that little 20 minutes or whatever it took and chop it up. And be real with each other and authentic, man. And it was a great moment, man. So shout out to Wee Man, Poncho, man. So.
Hey, I got a question for you then. Uh-huh. Okay. So like you just said, with him being in the situation where he was making, you know, making money to support family and everyone back home, how far does a person, even though, say, for example, he can't change his height, and that's what he was getting paid off of, right? Mm-hmm. So at what point do we say to ourselves, okay, I have my dignity, but I'm also getting paid for this, so how long do I stick in and be like, hey, I got to get these checks. I have time enough, you know, later on to enjoy the money and think about it, but at the same time, while you are popular under them circumstances, do you stick it through and deal with the whole mental contradiction later on, or do you go ahead and just vanish? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's based on your mindset, bro. So everything is perspective and how you look at it. So if I'm Wee Man and I'm a little person and, you know, that's what God gave me,
right?
I can either look at it as a curse or a blessing, right?
Exactly.
Because if I'm making money off of something that my mind and my ego says is a defect, because this is how I am. There's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with people who perceive me, and there's something wrong with them because they perceive me that way.
Right.
I'm just a person, no different than anybody else, right?
Right.
So if God gave me the ability or the blessing to make money off of that, then my perspective would be, this is a blessing. This is a gift.
Right.
I'm like this because I needed to be put in this situation, because I always feel, one of my personal mantras is, you are exactly where you're supposed to be at all times. You know what I'm saying? It's our mind and our ego and our limiting beliefs and these thoughts that trigger in our brain that tell us differently.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that would be my answer to that, bro.
Yeah, because I believe, you know, it's like this. Now, if my shit was down to the bottom of my heel, yeah, I'd be making movies and you know, but I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to use it for what it's worth. Now, to be smart with it, you know, like some of these NFL players are playing for about 5 years and getting the hell up out of there, saving their money and being smart and getting the hell up out of there so they can still maneuver, you know, into their 50s, 60s years of age when they get older. But they've got a whole nest egg to sit on and still have their mind intact. So, you know, I'm looking at it like, yeah, that's a smart thing to do. Don't go out there and make them records. Make the money. And if you're a mediocre player, and don't get me wrong, if you're in the league, there ain't no such thing as mediocre. But I'm just saying, you know, if you were at the getting salary base minimum, I'm going to sit around and eat the same thing that I was eating when I was making $25,000 or $30,000, whatever. I'm going to stay humble and stay within those means, you know.
There's a player in the league that he's a superstar. I can't think of who it
Alvin
is.
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what it is. He's still driving his Honda.
Man, that's how you ball out. Don't ball out buying one of them big vehicles. It's like, you know, you look at it, some of these players, man, they was making a lot of money when they was playing. I can't even name the players, but it's like they done ran through that money. Now, what, 25 years later, think about, now, I'm not – don't let me use him as an example, but say someone back in Priest Holmes' era, you know, they weren't making that much money that they're making now. But to think about the lavish lifestyle that player was living, and then you like 10 years down the line, like, oh, shit, I need to slow down. It's like, I don't have that money coming in. Like, ooh, it might be even sooner. But that's what I'm saying. For something like that, that's a smart move, because it's like, man, look. I've got mother, you know, hey, smart.
That's what I told him, bro.
That's generational wealth.
If it was me, I'd be the best goddamn Christmas elf I could be. I would like whatever's gonna get it's gonna get it, man. Like, now, if you have an issue inside yourself, like it's really fucking with you, your integrity. Like, obviously, you don't like, you know, there's a line to it. But, so anyway, Marcus, man, man, it's been a great interview, bro. You got the mindset again that I think exemplifies what this is about, man. And you're the perfect guest in terms of changing the narrative on success. Because to me, you are a success. You are a blessing to the world. I'm saying thank you for your dedication to yourself. You're fighting through so you can be here to tell the story, because the story is going to help somebody.
Right.
So hats off to you, brother, man, and I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. You also, man. Take care. I'm gonna have to make it up to Lawrence sooner than later, but
We need one of those sessions.
Yeah, man, and gonna have to get Giggles down there. Get him to come through. But yeah, I haven't been up there for a minute, man, and yeah, so like I said, we're gonna touch base, but we're gonna have to. Like I tell people, like I haven't bumped into people in a while, and say, hey man, we gotta keep it fresh. Yeah. So that way, it's not where we're having this dialogue under the wrong circumstances, or you know,
no doubt.
Keep it fresh. That's all, you know.
No doubt. So all right, bro. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. It was an honor. And yeah, take care. Thank you very much.
No doubt. Much love, homie.
Most certainly. Thank you.